This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and we are here tonight to recap the Monday night episode of Reindeer Games. Episode 4 of 6, only 2 left after this one. Rob is out tonight, but we are all here to talk through quite the episode. It's here, the first 60-minute episode of Reindeer Games, and with me to talk through it. This is Chappelle. How are you doing, Chappelle?
Hi, Taryn. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, you are? Because I am doing so much better than last week or last episode. This was fine. I enjoyed this like I enjoyed all the rest of the Reindeer Games episode. But this time, my favorite Big Brother player of all time did not go home. So I'm here for vibes. I'm just here to chill. I'm here to holly jolly la 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 or whatever the hell Derek X keeps saying. But thank you for having me.
All right. Well, also with us is Mary. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. You know, I feel like we're 4 of 6 episodes in, but it feels like we just started. And I feel in the middle because on the one hand, I feel like I could definitely do with more than 2 more episodes. But on the other hand, if it was longer than 6 episodes total, I don't think we would like it as much.
That's probably true. I'll always leave him wanting more, I think, is a winning formula. Finally, we have Kirsten. How are you doing, Kirsten?
You're right. Finally, I'm here to talk about Reindeer Games. I heard you needed a jingle bell bitch on this podcast, so here I am.
I feel like a jingle bell bitch today.
What did we do on this? Is this like going to be a team competition where it's me and Kirsten versus Taryn and Chappelle based on how you're dressed? Like, look at you. You guys are not in the spirit.
I think we need to actually split up the teams. I think that it should be, you know, one man, one woman per team to make it fair.
Oh,
Taryn, hold on. Taryn has a tree and I have dabbing Santa Claus and he's black.
There you go.
So, okay, I didn't see that part.
Yeah, look at him. Bow. You see it?
Bow.
Yeah,
I
hear that.
He's dressed as Santa. I don't know.
Yeah, somebody needs to get a hat. I think. I think it's important that women stick together.
Just because, like, women. You know what I mean?
And Brittany was right when she said that. Women. Am I right?
I say it all the time, but then people throw stuff at me when I say
it. Yeah, but your tone is different, Chappelle. Your tone is very different.
Women, am I right? Taryn, am I right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and you can see how it's different. Because when Mary and I said, we're like, because women.
Women.
Women. No, Taryn, am I right?
No. Taryn, no. Women. Right.
Well, despite it all, women did persevere through this episode as we have reached the final 5. And Josh is the latest person to be eliminated from the Reindeer Games. On the heels of a recap on Thursday, where I think 3 of the 4 panelists said Josh was in the best spot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Josh came in basically being like, Daniel Reyes, get behind me. I've got you, as he should have. He did what he had to do. With Daniel gone, it was like there was no story left for Josh. He had to go next.
But Josh gave me some of my favorite Josh in this episode. Like, I, you know, it's hard to be a fan of anybody on Big Brother 19, so we can just pretend like that never happened. But once Josh went off, made his little trip over to the challenge, I think he got a little, you know, he got humbled there. He learned how to be funnier. And then he came back here with a little bit more of a light to him. And I appreciated him this time around. So I would see Josh on Big Brother again if he was going to be this Josh rather than like pots and pans Josh. This was fun.
And he should have been there on All Stars and maybe things would be different.
I'm good on that. I am good on that. I remember vividly Josh playing Big Brother the first time, and I don't want no more of that. Josh, you had a good run. I'm proud of how you did here on Reindeer Games, but was I sad to see Josh go? Nope, not really. Actually, I'm good here. I don't ever need any reminders of BB19, actually. And I know that had he come back for All Stars, that would have probably been a worse season for me. So yeah, this is good. He had a great run. Went to the challenge. You would think someone who was a professional challenge competitor could beat Nicole Franzo at holding on to a candy cane. But the Nicobra is back, man. She's back. Snake Cole did it. She strikes again. I'm sorry, Josh. You're just a victim to Nicole's mist and venom.
I feel like they tried to make it seem like they deliberately cut away before, you know, commercial break where, oh, it was such a close call. I don't even think we needed the slow-mo. It was like, yeah, Josh was on the ground when Nicole was still completely standing upright.
Yeah, they really were trying something there.
And they should keep trying things. It seems like when Big Brother tries new things, we get a fun television product. So I'm fine with it. Keep trying new things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the new stuff of BB Reindeer Games, I've just, every time I listen to the podcast, I hear people talk about it, we're all saying the same thing. Where's all this when y'all be on the regular show? Why y'all don't try on the regular show? You know, you've been doing it for 20 some odd years at this point. You would think you would just put a little bit of this imagination, a little bit of this Christmas spirit into our Big Brother proper. Maybe if we start having Big Brother in the winter instead of the summer, they can bring in some of the holiday cheer or something like that. Because these challenges, these twists, these social like problems that these people get put in where they have to put up their own allies because they don't really have any other choice. I like that. I like the new stuff. Bring me more of that. I don't know why they won't do it. I mean,
they want it to be a wet, hot American summer. Come on, Chappelle.
I mean, but when is it going to get wet and hot?
It's not wet, hot, or summer.
Right.
But it's super American.
The most American thing that ever happened. Okay. So I don't know. This has been fun. But like you said, the new stuff, that's what I need.
It was a whiplash of an experience watching tonight because every time I got to a commercial break, I was watching Peridium's review of Big Brother 25, where it was just like, it was like happy little reindeer games. And then him being like, oh, the challenges, we need to rework these. And I'm like, well, they did. You don't know it yet. 2 months ago, you.
Well, we'll see if this sticks for BB 26.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up.
I will say just on the topic of the competition equity, that I think that specifically they have done good things in terms of the competitions themselves, both to make them slightly less physical some of the time, but also more importantly, providing alternatives for like, you know, you can gang up on somebody or you're competing in a team, like adding a social component to negate some of that physical advantage. And then in other competitions, making the mental portion or the puzzle portion or whatever the case may be harder so that that's actually a little bit more of a barrier than normal. Usually these physical competitions that are a hybrid that have a puzzle or a quiz attached to them, the puzzle or the quiz is so easy that it is basically just a gimme and it's just a physical competition unless you really screw it up. So I think that those are some of the more subtle changes that they're making. And then there is also one final thing, which is that, you know, for better or worse, most of the people here are like capable of performing the physical competitions to like the baseline level that's required of them because like they're all in a similar age range. And so like casting is another really important like part of this. And that's not to say that they should not cast older players. It's to say that they should change the competitions to allow for older players to be able to compete at a similar level because, you know, physical competitions usually not quite as easily mixed with them.
My brain just did the quick thought process of how would normal Big Brother work if every single HOH and even potentially Vito somehow was a mix up of sometimes it's partnered, sometimes it's team, sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. And then I realized that they kind of used to do that mm-hmm. when they had food competitions. Like that's kind of what was going on in the food competitions with the mixing up of the teams each time. And moving it to an HOH where it would actually change the power might be interesting, but I do think there's so much to be said for this game just it being every single competition, every single day, as opposed to even like a whole week to get used to whatever that structure is. It's making everyone just play a lot harder, which is, I mean, play harder, but play harder in a challenge sense, which is basically like what the show The Challenge is.
I mean, even if the game just moves a little bit quicker, that changes things as mm-hmm. well, right? So I don't know if that's necessarily what we need from regular Big Brother. I think that regular Big Brother just needs to be shorter in general because this is the first time Big Brother's ever left us wanting more, you know? And they could do that a little bit more frequently, in my opinion.
In terms of length, maybe.
Season is what I'm talking about for sure.
Yes. Well, let's talk this through because this was, I assume, our final episode of Derek. I can only imagine the things he was doing and saying throughout this episode that were not shown.
Is he coming on this podcast? Because if he is, I'm leaving. You know, I met Derek X one time and I don't think I'm the funniest person in the world, but I cannot stand sitting next to somebody who knows they're funnier than me. And Derek X is just packing me up in any room. And I'm like, bro, get away from me. Why are you on here? When I saw that he was on the podcast, I was like, whoo, dear God, just he's not invited here. He can't sit with us. I'm sorry. The man is hilarious. He's great TV. He should be hosting competitions all the time. He's so much funnier in just these little spurts of television than most of these Big Brother players are when you give them, you know, written lines in the diary room and bits to do. And Derek X, if he's gone now, good. I don't need any more Derek X. He's fun. He had his time. He's done
Chappelle's
here.
Chappelle's so, scared. He can't I handle the heat.
I can't. Go back to The Amazing Race. Leave us alone.
I think Derek needs to be on Reindeer Games too.
Would love to see it, truly. Oh, yeah. I think it's, like, tonally, it's so funny because, you know, Derek X has more of a relationship with the people in Reindeer Games, obviously, than Jordan did. So that plus his natural charisma, he puts people so much more at ease than Jordan could. But yet Jordan got these kind of like, yeah, stressful, but not that stressful episodes. Meanwhile, Derek X is watching these people in the trenches fighting for their lives, crying, screaming, throwing up. It's just so tonally different. It gave me a chuckle.
Yes. And he has some distressing news, which is that, you know, there's a pop star missing from the North Pole. Was I the only one that whose mind went to Ariana Grande?
No, it was not. I can't believe that they made you know who Ariana Grande is, Darren.
I was like, Frankie, get your sister.
What did we've already call her? Had Alyssa the Grande, Vanessa Grande? Yeah, he tried.
We've Jill already Fox. had the more famous person and relative combination in Big Brother this season or this year. I don't know that we need that again.
Oh, you mean Denzel Washington and Felicia?
Yes, that one.
Obviously.
I can't believe they didn't get Denzel for the Reindeer Games. What the hell?
Why didn't they get Ariana Grande for Jill Frost?
Ariana Grande is extremely famous, Darren.
I mean, her brother's right on the show.
You don't really see her acknowledging him that often.
Does she even like Big Brother? Has she even ever? Does she even watch his season? I mean, maybe
she even know Frankie is her brother.
Brother.
So many questions. Yeah. Have you ever seen them in a room together recently? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they're in pictures together. I've seen it on the
recently. I'm pretty sure Ariana Grande's booking fee would be more than the prize money for Reindeer Games. Like, there's no shot
if this
in
was
hell.
One long con, and like Frankie had just like gone up to Ariana Grande a couple times to take like fan photos with her.
They're not even related.
They just have the same
last name. Big Brother casting, and he's like, she's my sister.
How much would he have to pay her, though, to get her to not sue him for claiming that he's her?
Well, she's so not in touch with Big Brother. She hasn't even realized.
Didn't they do like the concert? Didn't they go to her concert in one of these seasons?
They went to Ariana Grande concert?
No, they didn't. It's a different concert. My brain's broken.
Cheryl Crow came to the backyard. I get those. What
was
all the
no? That was BB Rexha.
What was the concert that they went to in Big Brother? What was it? 14 or 10? It was one of the dance seasons. No, 14.
Vanessa went to a concert in Big Brother 17, and she had a wig on. What concert was it? Somebody Ariana help me in the Grande. Chat.
Yes, it was Ariana Grande. Ariana Grande.
I knew it. And you all tried to gaslight me into thinking I'm stupid.
Classic Kirsten getting Ariana Grande concerts mixed up. You hate to see it.
Okay. I'm just so relieved that I didn't make that up.
All right. Well, now it's time to figure out who kidnapped Jill Frost. Is it stupid? Slasher? Those are the only two I remember.
I don't know. What were the names?
They all had just like plays on those Ranger. And one was Nixon. I caught that because I laughed really hard at one being called Nixon. I was like, that is an evil name.
We have Connor Lurker, Meteor Nixon, Prowler Siren Slasher Stupid. You know, just
what
like the
Connor.
Right,
like a con man. I think it's like that. They're a con, not named con. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
a little bit tough, but I think that's probably where it came from. I was so mad during this challenge, y'all, because the way it was portrayed, we see X getting he's got the logic puzzle on lock, but I guess he just didn't go into the bathroom and see the fur, and I was like, how dare you? I feel like he put it together so much faster than everyone else, but he just didn't find the one crucial piece of evidence to pick which of the two reindeer with the blue collars it was. It made me mad.
So what did he do? Yeah. Just guess? Or did he miss?
He literally said it's between these two. So I'm just going to guess one. And he guessed the wrong one because he never went to the damn bathroom. Well,
50-50.
Listen, if he had narrowed it down to two, he should have done the smarter thing, which is what Frankie's group did, which is, hey, we've narrowed it down to three. Let's just all guess one of them. And then one of us will win. And so if he had narrowed it down to two, just go up to Taylor and be like, Taylor, let's just guess these two.
Do you think he feels like he can't trust Taylor still after that first time she managed to put him up for elimination? I mean, she was supposed to save him and did not. We obviously see her pick his side this time. But he was pointing out very early in the season that he thought Taylor and Danielle and them had his back. And then when it was time, he really couldn't trust them. So I don't know if he even trusts Taylor at this point in the game or if he's just like hoping that he can trust her and he didn't want to go to her with that information.
I mean, better Taylor than Frankie, right? Yeah.
And what he needs to recognize is that his game succeeds largely on having a much better social player in his corner. So he needs to get Taylor on side.
Yeah. Well, Taryn, you know, Frankie did give him the most time that he could give him to do that one challenge. You know, remember, X, I did you a favor. This was for us. We're a team. I think they got him snowed, or at least maybe enough for him to not just go to Taylor as a number one ally all the time. After this, he has no choice but to trust her because it's very clear that she's the only one who's really in his corner. But I think prior to this, there might have been some ambiguity on his part as far as how far he could trust Taylor. Mm.
Well, ultimately, it is going to go to Frankie. Again, great plan to just have all three of them guess. Meanwhile, Josh was like, I got this. I'm so fast at this. I was the fastest. And he was the last to ring in.
See, this is what I love. It's like, we all know that everybody was aware, including Josh, that he was not ringing in early. But something about that, I was like, this is funny. This is cute. This is you playing it up. It's you having fun with the format. He was one of the few people that was really, really like vocally playing along with all of the nonsense, right? Like, he was like, oh, what?
Yep. Like, Jill Frost is missing.
What? Like, loved that. Keep it up. You know what? It's like, I had the thought while watching this, like, this is like watching Big Brother players do, like, bad role-playing improv. Like, this is great. I love this. Because it's not just in the diary room repeating the lines. It's you're having to do it when you walk around and when you talk to each other. And I love that. Watching Derek have to read the scripts and play along with that. It's great. It's my favorite part. I love the cheese. Bring it on.
Josh has a lot of TV at this point, too, you know, because he's done the challenge so much. He's done so many confessionals, you know, probably Brittany has been done a lot as well because she's played two seasons, basically all the way, most of the way through, you know. And so I think now that Josh is a little bit more battle tested in the diary room, whether it's on the challenge or this show, I think it's really paying off. I think you can tell that these are not just like Big Brother players we pushed in front of a script and told them to read something off of, you know, the teleprompter. These people know how to play up the puns for the holiday season. And they know how to play into the characters here. And I am enjoying Josh a lot in the diary room.
The acting is better. We've seen some bad acting. We've seen shrink rays. We've seen a lot of nonsense in Big Brother, right?
That was, yeah, definitely real. Mm-hmm.
So weird how they reacted worse than if they were actors. It's crazy. But you, this, like this, they are acting. They are putting it all in. You're telling me that the biggest pop star in the North Pole, Jill Frost, who we've all definitely heard of, is missing. I'm gasping. I've got my hand over my mouth. My eyes are real big. This is really scary.
Can we rank the musical guests so far?
So, like,
which last week is the worst one? Last week was the worst one. That creepy crooner dude, he should be in jail. I don't know. I got bad.
That was bad. Although I feel like it was a little more entertaining than the just having Derek there being able to play the piano. Like that whole combo was more entertaining than the
Derek is the best musical guest.
Carol singers.
Yeah. DJ Bowie Jane is the worst. Whatever that was from episode one is the worst. I said it.
No, there was an element of camp to that that can't be discounted.
There was an element of chaos to them all jumping up and down in the smoke.
Yeah, and what's wrong with chaos? I love that. No, that was my favorite. I'm with you. Well, so I think they just needed some sort of reason to have a logic puzzle once again. And so they found a blonde lady. I mean, honestly, looks like she could... I could be her alter ego. Let's be real here. And they had to have her lip sync poorly to a holiday classic.
What happened to my eyes when this was going on, though? Because I felt like
it was like a weird, like blue filter over the show.
Yeah, while she was happening. Supposed to be like
it's Frost.
She's ethereal. Frosty.
Okay, unless you took notes on this, can any of you remember what song she sang? Because it happened and it went straight out of my mind the second she did it.
That was Ashley Tisdale, right? So it was He Said, She Said? That was the song?
It looked a little bit like Ashley Tisdale.
I thought it was. I've only seen it one time, but I'm pretty sure that was her.
Ashley Tisdale's appearance, he would also be too high to come on Big Brother Reindeer Games.
So someone in the chat said it looked like AI. That did happen on my stream. It's in the chat. Somebody was like, is this AI? Like it just it was Uncanny Valley.
It could be. It was a weird experience, but I was here for it. These holiday songs are royalty free, so we can expect to see one each episode.
So Mary, what was the song?
I have no idea. Oh. I don't remember. I can't remember. What it was, something basic.
Was it like Jingle Bell Deck Rock? The Halls.
It might have been Jingle Bell Rock. It might have just been Jingle Bells.
See, like
it was something jingly. I don't know.
I remembered that the creepy guy was doing a rendition of the 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah, about how he needed his girlfriend needed a restraining order. Sorry, yeah, no,
but see, the creepiness stuck with me. The AI lady.
Yeah, because you were afraid. You were scared for your life. That man belongs below the jail. I'm sorry.
I do remember that somebody, I don't remember who it was, maybe it was Josh, somebody was like, ooh, Jill Frost, she's being looking cute.
That was Josh.
I also like how Jack Frost has been presented as a villain in this series based on the last episode. It was Jack Frost is going to freeze the thing. The ornament's going to be stuck for whatever, 100 years if you don't get out of the maze. And now suddenly, are we to believe that Jill Frost is not a relation? and we're supposed to be worried about her? Like, I don't know. It seems like maybe she's in a crime family and they should be taking care of their own business.
Maybe she left Jack because he was so bad.
Yeah. I mean, Jack did destroy Danielle Reyes' Big Brother career and ruin my life. So, yeah, he's a villain as far as I'm concerned. And Jill, get far away from him. Never go back. You know, maybe this is a relative. Maybe it's an ex-wife, like Terrence said. Maybe she left. Get out.
I hope she did.
Maybe Jack hired Slasher.
Oh, it was...
Wow, you just cracked this whole case wide open, Taryn.
At what point in reindeer games do we get Jinglebot to come and roast everybody?
Oh no, not that. I didn't even think about Zingbot. Are they going to bring in Zingbot with Christmas?
Is it a holiday themed roast?
All holiday puns.
Mary, what holiday pun would you make?
Something to do with burr. You threw it back to me too quick.
You know how long it took me to come up with a jingle bot from us right now, and I need to put the ball back in her court. Okay, I don't think Zingbot's coming.
I don't think so either.
I will say my favorite part of the performance by far was Derek X just being knocked straight over by Jill Frost.
No one gets between Claire and her man, okay? Definitely. Jill Frost needed to back up, take a few steps. Derek's a taken man.
Oh, man. At first it was America. Now it's Jill Frost. Like, who's next?
These women and their womanly wives. Women, Taryn, am I right?
Right? I mean, at least America was thirsty before.
You know what I mean?
Women.
It's amazing how much women, when you say it like that, just sounds like, why men?
Right. Why?
Yeah, Chappelle says it like, why men? Which is a valid question that we should all be asking. Why men? But women, you know?
Women, you know?
You know what I mean?
You know what? I'm a girl's girl, so I'm just going to stay over here on the sweater side of the podcast.
You and me.
I'm wearing a sweater.
You can't see it. It's below the...
You had a more cheerful sweater before the podcast that showed at the shoulder level, and then you changed.
Listen, women.
It's like you're trying to hurt me.
I do have a question about the women. Mary, you said you're a girl's girl. Well, Taylor, there's been a lot of debate on whether or not Taylor is a girl's girl, but in this episode, Mary, what's up? What happened? What happened to the girl's girls? Why women, you know?
You know what, Taylor, she's a girl's girl, but she knows how to take care of herself here. And she knows that the best way to win this game is to keep her little shield X around. And she's got her eyes on the real prize, which is taking out Frankie. So I think I understand the move.
Yeah, here. She also had a pretty good explanation early in the episode when she said this.
When you're in good with everybody, there's gonna have to be a time where you are not good with everybody.
Yeah.
Wise words.
Poetry. Yeah.
Listen, Taylor knows what she's doing. I feel like we've seen kind of a mixed reception to her this time, which I do not understand because she is doing very well and looking beautiful while she does it. I don't really see what there is to hate. I will never understand hating Taylor Hale, and that's, I guess, my cross to bear. But you know what? She had a really hard decision. She had to decide if she was going to go with the women or if she was going to go and like finally prove to X that he could trust her. It was a difficult situation to be in. And you know what? Nicole has been the demise of a lot of women's alliances, you know? It feels a little cheap for her to come in on her fourth time on TV and now suddenly she believes in girl power. Interesting.
How do you think Taylor would have done at the Candy Cane rodeo thing?
Well, she already lost it to Monty and Turner.
What's his face?
Yeah. Oh, was that the final challenge? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was just her and Brittany had both competed on the wieners before.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. I really felt that in this show, we were going to get Brittany losing her dignity on a slippery candy cane, and it didn't happen. And now it probably won't happen based on tonight. So that is disappointing.
So strategically, the thing that I was most curious about in this episode was whether or not y'all think that Brittany and Nicole made the right choice in caving to split up the two pairs. Because this is really like a, you know, 50-50 situation. You're either potentially going, they were thinking you might have to compete against your pair in the Santa showdown. Didn't end up being that way, so it wouldn't have mattered. But the I guess theory is if we are together, if Brittany and Nicole were together and they had won, they would have both been safe.
Yeah.
Best outcome.
I felt like this was a no-brainer from my perspective, where it was like, given what we've seen so far, the showdowns tend to be more physical, more geared toward like bigger guys. And the Jingle Bell brawls have been a lot more equitable. We've seen like the women have been winning those more often. So
wait, but I don't know if I agree, Taryn, because the logic puzzle with the gifts for the kids, I feel anyone could have won.
That was the one showdown.
And the one last week, I don't think necessarily was better for a bigger guy with the wheel.
You know, in the X, wasn't it X versus Cameron that was just that puzzle, right? I mean, I guess it's kind of, it was back and forth, a lot of that, but it wasn't that bad. I think they're just,
I mean,
the challenges in general probably
X, a little X bit more. X could have filled like five buckets of sweat in that
challenge. Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. I kind of agree with both, though. It's like I do think there's a little more running and force that have typically been in those. But I think the idea is, and maybe this is what you're going to say, Taryn, set yourself up best for if you think you can win in a girl-girl pair in the Jingle Bell Brawl, then be together, because worst case scenario, you have to compete against someone that's your own size in Santa Showdown if they were thinking they were going to go in together. Like it definitely seems like the no-brainer to me.
Yeah. In terms of the Jingle Bell Brawls, there haven't been any that have been like, oh, a guy wins this. And so if I'm a woman, I'd be more worried about a showdown than a Jingle Bell Brawl. And I'd want to put myself on equal footing in terms of like physicality for a showdown, while not even disadvantaging myself in a Jingle Bell Brawl. So like if you pair up with a man, then you have theoretically an equal chance with the other team or other teams. But then in a showdown, there's a chance you just get outsized. Whereas if you team up with another woman, I think you still have basically an equal chance. And even if you don't, even if you lose that, you're at least on equal ground for the showdown. That's why I felt like for me, that seemed like a pretty clear choice, but there was also some social pressure there.
Yeah. And here's what I love about the BB Ranger games. We are sitting here having this whole discussion. They had this whole talk of how they thought it was going to go. And BB Ranger game said, nope. One from each team. Love it. Keep them on their toes.
No, that was pretty cool, you know, because it kept us on our toes. You know, like Taryn was saying, it's pretty obvious what you probably should be doing here. But when you give each person the chance to choose anyway, it's like, yeah, you maximize your opportunity, but there's still another twist. It gives you another added layer. And to make sure that one person and one alliance can't really just steamroll. I mean, Frankie and Nicole are still from the same season and they're still here, but they had to basically bring in Brittany as their new BB16 person just to make it this far. And so now you have Taylor and Frankie in a position where they have to choose someone else. And now obviously that puts Josh in a very tight spot, but it puts Taylor in a worse spot because she's like, what am I going to do here? You know, I've actually have other alliances that I've been working on, and I have to now show my cards in a way that there's going to be no coming back from this. People are going to know what my end game plans are just based off of this decision. And we just don't get decisions like that in Big Brother a lot anymore. If not ever, you know, it's just kind of straightforward a lot of times. And I really wish they could incorporate some of this into maybe the veto competitions or HOH or something. Even these like, you know, how we get those third competitions sometimes, the road trip and stuff like that. Give us something to make it a little bit more interesting to where, yeah, these players can't just say, okay, we're part of this big 13 person alliance. Sorry, number 14, you're going home. I don't like it.
Yeah, and I think that like this sort of the point of this game and this show is that like these decisions are shots in the dark in Survivor terms, because we don't know what the format is going to be, and neither do they. Even in terms of like what happens at the end, we don't really know. All we know is that it's supposedly some kind of tournament that was said in the first episode, but like, What does that even mean? There's been a social component to all of the competitions so far. Is like, it could be a tournament where then somebody picks somebody, or it could be a tournament where people pick somebody, or it could be a tournament where people are able to gang up on other people. And on top of the fact that just every single time, what is the advantage? What is the disadvantage? What is the competition for the Jingle Bell Brawl? What kind of teams are you put in? What is the showdown going to be? How many people are going to be in it? How are those people going to be picked? None of these things are a given. They have been different every single time. So trying to plan for it in the future is a completely losing battle. And so when put into these kinds of situations, I'm like, yeah, it seems like a given decision to me to make sure that the women team up and so that the men are together. But as we just saw, that decision might have been worse given what ended up happening. Because even though you're going off of, well, it's usually this way. Well, it has been usually that way. And that played out correctly. But the underlying assumption was wrong. They weren't going to go against each other. In fact, they couldn't go against each other. So it's very, very difficult to know what decision you're going to make. And so instead of like other aspects of the game feeling random, like they've added more randomness to even the strategy of it, where you're just trying to make the best decision for you in the moment where you're maybe this one, I think, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that can be okay. Like that can be compelling to watch someone have to make snap decisions that are strategic without worrying about the longer strategic plan or trying to factor it in, but they know that they're not going to be able to plan it out because the format's going to change next week and not only, or next episode, next day, whatever. And not only that, but this is the first time that this is happening. So they don't even know what to expect from the whole show, which is something else I'd say that if they're ever going to do a Reindeer Games Part 2 or something like that, mix it up even further. Don't follow the exact same format. Don't do the, individual, then a two-person team, mix it up. Don't even have all of the first competitions be this exact competition. Make it something else instead of the run around the house looking for clues or something. Like the biggest killer of expect the unexpected in these shows have been when they are expecting the exact points of certain things throughout the season and the exact formula. And I know this is different from Big Brother, but like it's the same group working on it. You can take some of the inspiration from this and see what kind of things worked and maybe think about how you can use that moving forward.
No, but imagine it's the double eviction, right? The whole house has been plotting and scheming. They know exactly who they're going to nominate, what they're going to do. Okay, well, it's a double eviction tonight. You're going to do your vote. But it's not going to be a whole week of Big Brother. It's going to be this snowflake maze puzzle. And each person will have a minute less.
Yes.
Who's going home?
Yes.
Let's go. Like, let's do it.
I feel it now. You know, that warm feeling you get when the feeds are about to be good. Oh, my God. I can already, because you can't even just imagine, like, we're listening to the upfeed. We're like, we're updating. We're like, Taryn, what's about that? We're like, oh, shit, I don't know. You know, they're probably going to put this person first, but they might not. And then you're like, dang, this is really good. And they expected double eviction, but they're not expecting Jack Frost, you know, so switch it up a little bit. That kind of got me going. This is why I like Big Brother. Right? I like that kind of stuff, but we need
Jack Frost to terrorize the house guests in a regular season.
I mean, like genuinely, I think that there's a ton of promise for an episode of regular Big Brother where it follows that elimination style format from the last episode, where first of all, show the whole thing on the feeds. Didn't you have to show the competition itself? Just show them waiting inside on the feeds and the discussion about it. And then an episode where you start with that competition so that it could end at any time. And there's no amount of like, you know, you're not going to be able to, you know, oh, the episode's not over. So obviously. and I think that really works. So here we are. The teams ultimately are picked and it's going to be Frankie and Taylor, Josh and Brittany, and then Xavier and Nicole. This seemed pretty dominantly Frankie and Taylor here. I don't know if Xavier and Nicole really came all that close. They got frozen for a little while, but they didn't even really edit it to seem like it was that close. So I assume that they just kind of dominated this competition.
That's what it felt like to me.
That freeze is a hell of an advantage, you know, just to stop. All right, let's go. Let's make some things happen. Also, Frankie is good at everything. Frankie's literally good at everything. I know, like, I was joking about it in the first episode where they called Frankie one of the greatest competitors on Big Brother history of all time. And, like, I don't know what the stats say, but I mean, what is he bad at? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just those challenges, no matter what it is, he has a decent shot at literally any of them. He's good at puzzles. He's very physical. You know, he's just made for stuff like this. I think that you can't put Frankie in a situation like this and count him out. And so I wasn't shocked at all when I saw the result.
Yeah, I mean, you put Frankie in 100 random Big Brother competitions, I think he's going to win far more than the average person would. I don't know how he stacks up against like a Jag, but he's definitely good.
In terms of percentage, in terms of average placement, and honestly, in terms of actual comp wins, and not discrediting Battle of the Block competitions, he pretty much outperforms a Jag in every category. But maybe like somebody like Michael is that's where it's like, is he actually like a Michael or Janelle level, like in her prime? That's maybe to be determined. Maybe we'll see based on this competition, based on this shot.
Yeah, even Victor was another one who, if you put him, you know, he did a lot of battle backs and stuff like that in his time. There are a few people in the more recent era of Big Brother where the challenges have changed a lot more. You know, the Janelle challenges were a lot more crapshooty, if I remember. You know, a lot of throwing a hula hoop and, yeah, a lot of quizzes and stuff like that. But, you know, these hold on to something, hurry up and run and do a puzzle, jump into a ball pit, all that kind of stuff, has Frankie's name written all over it. And so, yeah, I wasn't shocked at all. You know, but there are only a few slouches, I would say, here. And Josh being one of them, I kind of was like, all right, you know. Nicole's a good. Frankie is good. Xavier's won a bunch of challenges. Josh has an interesting challenge record for someone who competes on the challenge every year, twice a year.
Well, but this was classic challenge Josh too. Like, he talks a big game. He's like, has he won a single elimination ever?
One. I think he's one out of seven game, yeah. Reindeer games.
thank you, Brian Cohen.
So it's not surprising.
I mean, and it's okay. I think I've always liked Josh more than like the average person does. So for him to be also getting a good reception in this, I'm just thrilled for him. I'm happy for Josh.
And I also would be bad. Let me be very clear. Josh and I would probably perform about the same until he went on the challenge and got like jacked. And so he's better than me. So let me just say that I'm just not applying for these shows. That's the difference. Okay. So he's a Big Brother winner. He's done really well in the challenge a few times. You know, he's no pushover, but Nicole, Xavier, Frankie, it's really hard to beat those three as far as in like challenge records go. So, you know, he was fighting an uphill battle. He just happened to be paired with somebody who could kind of help him a lot. It just didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, how this is going to work is that Frankie and Taylor will both decide one person from each team to compete in the show. This was very complicated in order to get the result that they wanted. And they did get the result that they wanted, and it was a random draw from the bag. So it's not like they like whipped this up specifically for this circumstance, but like the idea of, okay, each of you is going to pick one person from each team, and you're going to draw colored balls to determine which team you are choosing. It was quite a lot, but it worked out because it meant that Frankie was obviously going to choose Josh. And I loved how Frankie pitched this to Taylor up in the like HOH room, where it was like, okay, Taylor, this is a team decision. We are going to make this decision together. So Josh and Xavier.
Well, Frankie keeps saying everything's a team decision. He's doing everything for the team. Everything. We're 4 episodes in out of 6 now. Stand on your own 2 feet and take some ownership for your decisions.
No. It's so convenient that what Frankie wants is what's best for any team also.
Yeah. Frankie's good. He just is. He's good. He's like, yeah, obviously this makes the most sense for both of us. So if you don't do this, this makes complete no sense at all. And that means you must be doing something outside of the plan that's best for all of us. Like, so when I say all of us, I mean me specifically. If you do something that does not benefit me here, I know I can't work with you in the future. So Taylor, the team of Frankie and Taylor are getting rid of Josh, and we're putting Xavier and Josh up against each other because it makes sense. They're strong guys. Why wouldn't you want those people out? I mean, Nicole's in the diary room just like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you do this? You're taking strong guys to the end. Cody says hi. You know, so, you know, that's what you do. That's Big Brother. That's how it works. And I love that it's trickled into Reindeer Games as well.
And I would like to address the person in the chat who says, oh, Frankie did own his move last week, putting Xavier in. Yeah, he did when he put Xavier in. And then when Xavier came back into the house, he's like, I gave you so much time. I did that for us.
Yeah. Xavier and Frankie, the thing that we've been doing, day one alliance. What are you talking about? Go off, Frankie.
I don't blame for it. Like, yeah, you should of course
try. Of course do it. Yeah. Like, I don't blame him for it, but I am annoyed. I want him to stand on his own 2 feet. I want him to stand in his truth and say it, you know?
Did I miss when they were drawing the colored balls? Was it also established like that one of them was going to go first and one was going to go second? Because to me, that seemed like so much bigger of a situation too.
I think that the two ornaments were like the same size. So I guess
not when they were drawing it. I mean, like, did they say, and whoever gets the red ball will be choosing first? Or
I think Frankie got to, no, Frankie didn't choose first. I don't know.
No, Taylor chose first. And I was actually very surprised about that.
Me I'm thinking, too.
Oh, I guess Taylor, it makes sense. Frankie gets to choose last because he won, maybe.
Yeah,
the original power. But I don't know, because their team could have lost in the second part. So
it just seemed like the Frankie decision was the no-brainer, like the one that we all knew was going to happen. And the Taylor one was at least in the edit a little bit more up in the air. So it was surprising that she went first. But well,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there was some mechanism we didn't see. Okay. So so Taylor is now forced to make a decision.
This is not a holly jolly holiday.
It's no longer a holly jolly holiday. She's aligned with everybody. She has a women's alliance, and she has an alliance with Xavier and Josh. And that means that she basically has to choose between the alliances. And this was an impossible decision. I literally spent like 15 minutes or 10 to 15 minutes. However long there was when she had this decision in front of her, going back and forth in my head about the decision, because strategically for me, it makes no sense to put in Xavier, right? Because there's an alliance of three, Nicole, Brittany, and Frankie. By putting in Xavier, you're guaranteeing that your side pieces, Xavier and Josh, at least one of them is guaranteed to leave, forcing you to be relying on somebody else's power structure, which is Brittany and Nicole, who have Frankie. You don't have Frankie in the same way. Now all you're left with is either Josh or Xavier, if you still even have them, because you just betrayed them both. And so that immediately was in my head. But then you also have to consider the idea that, like, well, at some point Xavier has to go, right? Could it be now? I think based on the competition, we know it wouldn't have been now. But like, if we're close to the end, is it just the move to throw Xavier in anyway, and just hope for the best and hope that, you know, he leaves and that you can beat the remaining people? And it really is, I think, absolutely not a straightforward decision in any way or fashion. Like, it was such I've never been like live watching a Big Brother going like, wait, hold on. No, this one. No, wait, hold on.
Yeah. That was a really tough situation for her to be in. And I think that the way that she, you know, explained to us why she made the decision she did made sense. So I trust Taylor.
I think also, like, she has a friendship with Xavier outside the game. And so it really comes down to, did they have a conversation before the game saying, hey, is this just going to be whatever we're trying to get to the end? We can vote each other out, whatever situation. Or is this this is a stupid little game. So let's try to get one of us to win. So let's work together. Like it could have been either one. And my gut is telling me that came down to the decision of who she's actually friends with.
Well, I don't know, because we already saw her put in Xavier over Nicole once.
But that's,
right?
Yeah. It was a little.
That was different.
Like it was a little different. Yeah, like that was.
I just feel like if like say Frankie was in there, I think she 1,000% puts Xavier.
Yeah, I think it also at that point in time she wasn't the only one making the decision, so she's able to kind of explain that away a little bit.
She wasn't the only one making the decision, and they're saving one person and having the other
and having two people compete. Yeah,
right. Or three people. I don't even remember. Was that which one that was?
Yeah, that was when it was when Cody chose the teams.
Yeah, it was Cody, Frankie, and Xavier competing.
Yeah, so there was going to be three of them anyway. So at that point, it's like, well, let's just have the three guys compete and knock one of them out. I don't know. That's a little different than this scenario where it's like we're this far into the game. Your mind does go what Taryn's talking about into the numbers of where am I going to be if Xavier's gone? How much is Nicole really on my side as opposed to Frankie? Mm-hmm. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So complicated.
I definitely was trying to figure out like what should she do here? Because, you know, going to the end with Frankie and Xavier, like possibly two out of the four people that you have to like that are in those last challenges would be insane, right? But at the same time, Xavier has been showing some ineptitude and some challenges. We saw them pack him up in that one challenge with the trees where you put the ornaments on each side. I mean, he basically was in one spot and they lapped him and won that challenge. Then if you look at Jack Frost's challenge, Xavier had everybody thinking it was a death sentence to even go into the challenge. Like, well, it took me 3 minutes, so I don't know what y'all gonna do. You know, Brittany's crying, passing out, throwing up and all kinds of stuff. And she cooked him up, you know, so it's like, Xavier might be around. He might be a great shield to have or even somebody that you can use. But if I'm Taylor, if I got to choose between going to the end with Frankie or Xavier, I'm picking Xavier. You know, like I think I might be able to beat him in a world where maybe I can't beat Frankie. So I lean toward, yeah, go ahead and save Xavier. But it is wild to have the opportunity to take out somebody like Xavier, who's won so many challenges in the past, who is a big, smart guy, and not put him up. So I understand why everybody else, like Nicole, was so confused as to why she would end up down there. It's just that, I mean, even Xavier versus Nicole, I'm not counting Nicole out. You know, I knew instantly Nicole was going to beat Josh. So, you know, I just think that we're starting to see that with these challenges being a little bit more equitable, there's a lot more variance, and that maybe going to the end with X isn't the worst thing in the world. Now, it could get down to a foot race in the last challenge. We don't know. But right now, I'm like, you kind of have to go with Xavier.
Yeah, I mean, with equitable comps, like, it's an actual decision. And it's one where there's really a lot of credibility to the idea of keeping him around. And if you think about it, right, like, okay, he hasn't won any Jingle Bell Brawls. He hasn't won any Naughty or Nices. Which means he's only won showdowns. He beat Cam and he beat Frankie and Cody in one. And then he was terrible at the third one. He got the worst time of anybody, including Danielle and Brittany. And he was terrible in the balance Jingle Bell Brawl. So it's like, yeah, now all of a sudden, like, we're looking at, like, maybe at best, like, a 50-50. He's going to do really well. He's going to do really poorly. And at the same time, be a massive target and be somebody that's gunning for, like, who's super on your side, who's going to be a target, who's gunning for Frankie. He'll probably go in with Frankie. And it's, again, it's just like, I can see... Like, because part of it, too, is that for myself, like my own head, I'm still stuck in Big Brother 25 when it's like, you don't get this person out now, they will win everything. But that hasn't been how the competitions have been going. And so, you know, it's interesting. And it's really, I think it's this kind of decision making that's making Reindeer Games interesting in this very fast paced show, where it's just like, yeah, another part of it is, how does the final four work?
We don't know.
Right.
It could be multiple challenges. You get points and the highest points win. It could be a knockout style thing. Four people versus and then down to three people versus down to two people versus.
Right.
A lot of things.
Like
I would expect it to be an elimination. There be an elimination component because otherwise, I think even with the more equitable comps, I wouldn't have been surprised if the girls were like, look, we got to get one of Xavier and Frankie out now, and we got to get the other one out next, you know, next time. So we need to do everything we can to get Xavier gone. And I would have included Taylor in that thought process, but I don't know.
I would assume, and this is, again, it's like, you can't really assume, but you have to guess, right? If there's four people for one episode and there've been three competitions every episode, I would assume you do one competition to eliminate one person, mm-hmm. another competition to eliminate a second person, then a final competition between the final two. Like, that's what makes the most sense to me. And in that case, are those competitions going to be gang up on one person?
Mm-hmm.
If so, like, you know, what is the spot there? You can't be outnumbered in that spot. Right. You need to have at least one person who you've got. And so it's like, you know, that's huge. Like, I'd much rather have a locked in ally in that spot than have, like, taking out a comp beast because you think you can beat them. And now all of a sudden you're outnumbered. And it's like, oh crap. So it's just so variable in terms of like what is actually ahead of you. It's impossible to make a call.
So let's say Taylor does decide to send X in. X beats Josh and he comes back. It's not like Xavier is about to go align with Frankie, Brittany, and Nicole to take out Taylor next. He doesn't really have anywhere else to go. So isn't it just as safe to be like, go down there, beat Josh, bro. I know you're coming back. And then it'll be the two of us still. Because what are you going to do? You know, what is it? Mm-hmm. Is he really going to come in and his axe to grind is Taylor of all these people? I'm thinking Frankie's still number one on this list. Yeah, but
if you send Nicole and Nicole loses, then the other side loses a number and you've protected your whole side of three, right? So it's just...
Yeah, and like another part of this is like keeping Josh around is the absolute ideal.
Yeah,
like you want to give Josh the best chance to win because Josh being in the finals is amazing for you in almost every capacity. Because he's not great at the competitions, he's a bigger threat than you, and he's loyal to you. So like giving the best odds for Josh to stay is probably your top priority. And then another thought that I had was like, okay, you put Xavier down. Let's assume, and this might be wrong, that Xavier now gets to pick the two people, you know, next round he wins Jingle Bell Brawl. He gets to pick two people to go into showdown. He's obviously going after Frankie, but who does he put next to Frankie to compete with Frankie? If he has no more ties to you, like,
it would be Taylor.
Is it Taylor because she maybe has the best chance to beat Frankie because she's won more comps? Or maybe, you know, Brittany's another good choice. Brittany's also won a couple. But like now all of a sudden it's a decision because you just threw him in just like Brittany did. And so, you know, there's a lot of different like variables there. But I think the thing that I didn't think of until after the episode was Josh is the key here. You want to do the thing that gives Josh the best chance to stay.
Mm-hmm. And that means throwing Xavier in because Snake Hole is not going to lose a challenge like this, baby.
And that's now all I can think about really in the wake of these last two episodes is what is more powerful, Taylor's karma or Nicole's vindictive snakeness? Because Nicole will forgive, but she will never forget, you know? So what's going to ultimately end up being more powerful? To me, that's the story of the rest of the season.
She has too many grudges now. She's in there with Frankie, who screwed her over in her season. She's there with Brittany, who tweeted mean things about her. And now Taylor, who threw into the thing.
She's in heaven.
Listen, Nicole loves a rival. She loves to have a rival more than anything. So I think that this is, it's tough. I want to believe that Taylor's karma is stronger, but it's just, you know, Taylor's karma hasn't existed as long as Nicole's snakeness.
Yeah. And she's it's a feast of all these grudges, right? Like
she will unhinge her jaw and she will eat those grudges.
She's shutting it down. She's a basilisk, you know, she's just coming in and she's like, Hey, bro, she doesn't have to be loyal to anybody because now they've all wronged her in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So she's like, well, I was going to go with the girls, Taylor, but I guess it's you. Well, Brittany, remember that stuff you said online? Well, Frankie, remember that time you betrayed me? It's like, damn, who's going after Nicole when Nicole has like, I guess I could just come after you. It's like, yes, Nicole. Man, she's just piecing them up, man. This is crazy.
Nicole would be, this is not a hot take, but Nicole would be one of the most entertaining villains ever if she would just
Lean into it.
Just admit to herself.
I feel like she has a little bit so far this season.
But I want her to say, like, to the camera, like, I'm going in. I'm getting them. I forgive, but I don't forget. I want her to say that.
If Nicole had not been such a weirdo during All Stars, I could just sit here and be happy and root for Nicole. But I can't forget the way she acted towards Bailey Devon and... Ian, I can't forget it.
I love it. I'm gonna say, because we've been hearing this for years now, right? Like, oh, if Nicole would only own her villainy, that would make her better. But I think, for me, I'm just in this moment coming to a realization that I think I actually prefer Nicole not owning her villainy.
Me too.
I think she's more entertaining that way. Than she is if she was just an everyday regular villain. I think that like this fits Nicole a lot more.
Well, it does. And this is why she's frustrating, like, or not frustrating.
She elicits emotional responses.
Yes, this is from why it's exactly the what person you want that people like have the reason people like me have this response of wanting her to be a villain is so that I can feel better about rooting for her villainy, right? Because
you want to make yourself feel better about it because you want to do it so bad.
Here's the problem, though. Look at the actual villains that you know in your everyday life, you know, the people that are the worst people you know, almost all of them somehow seem to make it out that nothing is ever their fault and everyone's against them. And these are the people in their therapy appointments manipulating their therapists. Like, this is true evil.
That was very specific.
Okay, let's come talk. Text me later, Kirsten.
It could have been more specific.
I'm dropping names. Listen, I love Nicole, and I think that not owning it is a part of what makes her such a good character. It's the, like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. It's the thing that, you know, that I think a good villain is. It's just like, you want me to do a thing so that you can say, I'm the villain that you love to hate. No, just hate me because I'm a real villain. You know,
y'all are right. Chappelle and Taryn, I think you've enlightened me.
Yeah. It's like you want to get behind it so you can say, I support this person. And I'm saying, nah, I don't want to have to support my villain. I want my villain to be a villain. And I say, am I villain about to come in and just demolish y'all? I said, and BB All-Star, before we even, my first podcast, I came on RJP and I said, y'all better watch Nicole in All-Stars because she's going to come in and she's going to chop up your faves. And everybody was like, no, it's not going to happen. Da, da, da. And she did it. And I said the same thing here in Reindeer Games. I said, you gotta watch Nicole. She's good. And you don't have to like it. But I mean, if you like effectiveness, look no closer than the Nicole Bro. That's what she does. I'm sorry.
Because a fake villain plays a villain for TV for fun. A real villain thinks they're the hero.
A real villain thinks they're the hero. Exactly.
Yeah. And listen, it's about variety, you know? Like, I feel like we do get, like people who are willing to own their villainy on the screen. And there are a lot of people that don't. But, like, the thing is that, like Nicole is the best at being a villain. And like, here's the thing. Listen to Nicole's deep dive with me after All Stars. Like, she knows what she's doing and she wants credit for it. And she should get credit for it because it's very effective most of the time. But there's also an element of it that we saw where it's like, you know, fake crying in the diary room when you're voting somebody out or, you know, like the various things that we've seen. That's like part of the strategy, but also part of like how she operates. But then also she's not just a straight villain either. She is also a very loyal player most of the time to specific people. And so like it's all wrapped up into one package. And no matter what, every single time she's on your screen, no matter how much you either like her or dislike her, she gets a response from you. And that's why she keeps coming back.
Yeah.
And I want to be very clear here, at least for myself. I can't speak for everyone else on the panel. I'm speaking 100% about the TV show character Nicole that I am seeing.
You can speak actually for the whole panel, Mary, when you say that. Thinking,
like, I don't know anything. If anyone's like, why do you hate Nicole or why do you love Nicole or whatever? I'm not even talking about Nicole the person.
We don't know Nicole the person.
Like, I'm talking about a TV show character that I'm watching and the cultivated, like Taryn's saying, the cultivated strategy and persona that probably has elements of her real life, but also is for Big Brother and is part of the whole thing that includes things like exit interviews and any press that she does about the show. This is part of it. And you can like or dislike that character and talk about it in that way without having anything to do with bashing a real person who exists.
Right. We don't know that lady. We just talking about TV show. No.
And that's the other thing, too, is it's like people are always more complicated than just, oh, this person's a hero, this person's a villain. Like, it's never that simple.
Right. Because a lot of y'all heroes be my villains. I'm looking at everybody who clapped last week when Danielle Reyes went home. Yeah. Brendan, somebody love you, mother, queen. Yeah, what? No, what?
I don't understand. I don't understand how anyone could be happy for Danielle Reyes to go home.
Yeah, y'all like, were happy when Brittany Haynes won. So
Like, I'm proud of Brittany Haynes for completing the competition.
Pick a side. Y'all the one.
I don't want my faves to fight, Chappelle.
What did I say episode one of this show? I posted, you can check my Twitter. I said, Brittany and Danielle are in a mother off. Like, this is horrible. I want them to be together. Danielle wins, obviously. She's more mother off. Obviously.
Is she? I don't know.
I thought they were together in the first episode. I thought they were working together.
I know. I wanted them together. I wanted them working together.
My favorite Big Brother player of all time. I wanted her to demolish all of these people. I love Taylor Hale, but Danielle versus Taylor, Danielle. Everybody versus Danielle is always Danielle for me. So that's why I can't respect y'all.
See, that's the thing is when it was getting down to where maybe Danielle would go home is every single other person that hadn't gone yet should have been like, put me in. It should be me instead.
Take
you
me
know?
Out.
Take Chappelle, me. Chappelle saying I love Taylor and I've known Taylor for 2 years. I've known Danielle for my entire life.
You know, like the only mother comparison that we could ever be on this show was literally on last season of Big Brother, and that's Ceri. And she's from a different mother. That's a mama from a different mama. You know what I'm saying? That's from Survivor Mama.
Well, Chappelle, you were lucky that Ceri was not on Reindeer Games where you'd have to decide between the two.
Decide? I would have just burst into flames.
Strike me down if I ever try to decide between Ceri and Danielle. Take me.
Take me.
This to me did feel like the weakest episode so far. Not that it was bad, but like I think there was a distinct lack of two very important ingredients that made Reindeer Games really, really good, which is one, Danielle Reyes, and two, not enough Brittany.
Not enough Brittany.
No. There was not enough Brittany in this episode. I think that was another thing.
Yeah. If you lose Danielle to keep Brittany, I need all Brittany content all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wanted this? Now give us more Brittany. And Brittany is a queen of the diary room. We all know that. She's great television. But yeah, I felt like it was just a little spark that was missing from this episode. And the ratings are going to reflect. You shouldn't have got rid of my mama.
Because don't get it twisted. We can talk all we want about how great and equitable the challenges are. It is the cast that has made this not just tolerable, but enjoyable.
100%. Exactly. One, you know, this episode was the first one that was only, you know, 1 hour episode, and it had an hour and a half long endurance competition in it, right? And that says it all. It didn't need to be longer than an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this podcast needed to be longer than an hour, apparently, because we are over an hour.
I had feelings.
Anything else we should talk about before we wrap up here?
I want to give a shout out to Taylor Hale one more time. And because Kirsten was talking about Taylor earlier, and it just reminded me that gif of Taylor doing like that front flip into the snow.
Oh my God.
I need to see that every holiday season, like Mariah Carey singing All I Want for Christmas Is You. Like those two things should be spliced together until the end of time. The most iconic Big Brother gif since Davon walking out the door and just like, and strutting out. How does Taylor do stuff like this? I feel like they had to take like four takes to get anything remotely like that from anybody else. Taylor does it in one shot, really?
I have an idea.
At the moment.
Chappelle, we get you a TV.
Okay.
Specifically to put behind you in this camera shot for all podcasts that just plays the Taylor flipping GIF on the loop.
Yes, I would love that. It'd be so much more engaging to talk to Chappelle if Taylor Hale's behind him.
Yes.
I also, you know, speaking of Taylor Hale, you know, if she's listening, if anyone can get a message to her, I would personally love to know what lipstick she was wearing in this episode because it was really beautiful.
Yeah, very Kirsten, shiny. You wear a red lip like no one else, Kirsten. That's what I've heard. Like no one's business.
Hell up. Stop. Taryn, Chappelle's a real villain in my life.
I don't own it. Okay. So, Taryn, people in the chat are asking about Brittany and Nicole's win equity as far as this goes. I know we don't know what the final four challenge is, but do you think they put themselves in a good position for whatever that looks like to be able to topple somebody like Xavier and Frankie to be, you know, in the end of this game and actually have a good chance to win?
Yeah. Well, so basically the situation right now is obviously they just were betrayed by Taylor to, you know, whatever degree, but they still kind of have to put Frankie in against yes. Xavier if they have the option. And it just doesn't make sense to do anything else. I think Brittany would do that 1,000%. I think Nicole probably would. But I wouldn't be as sure as I would about Brittany. I think Taylor also does that. I think all three of the women put Xavier and Frankie in together. I think Xavier and Frankie put the other one in against one of the women. If it's Xavier, he puts Frankie probably against Nicole? Actually, I don't know. Nicole just beat Josh, but Brittany's also performed well, so I don't know. It might just depend.
I feel like Nicole would be who I would aim at. If I'm thinking who can beat Frankie, I'm thinking Nicole. I'm not saying Brittany couldn't, but I think Nicole for me is probably better in challenges in general. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I think so.
He put Brittany in once already, but Nicole wasn't an option at that point. Mm-hmm. So like, who knows? I think Nicole seems closer to Frankie, so that might have an impact on the decision. Either way, I think Frankie puts Taylor up against Xavier. I think that like makes sense for him on multiple levels. And so which is another reason why like keeping Josh in the game would have been much better for Taylor if that could have happened. So I think no matter what, we're looking at like Xavier or Frankie, one of them is going to be in the showdown next week tomorrow night. and that means they're gonna have a chance to leave. Ideally they're up against the other one, Frankie versus Xavier, which would put the women at a 3-4 advantage in the final, at which point you'd still probably have the women getting up against that final guy. Although if you're Taylor and it's Xavier, you might want to like take out one of the, actually, yeah, you probably want to, let's assume it has anything to do with social game, right? You want to do, if I'm Taylor, I'm working with Xavier to take out one of Brittany or Nicole. Then I'm turning around and working with the one I didn't take out to take out Xavier next. And then it's me versus the remaining one in the finals. That would be what I'd do there. Otherwise, if it's just Frankie, then Brittany and Nicole kind of just dominate, right? Because they go after Taylor first, then they turn on Frankie. But that's assuming it's that format. So who knows?
Yeah.
I think that their chances are pretty good, actually. I think that the both of them are in a pretty decent spot. They just have to survive one more round, and they're like, one of them has a very good chance to win. I would say the two of them, you know, honestly, I'd put both of the guys at the bottom of the list right now. I think they're both just too likely to head into a showdown.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
We did it.
Well, we did it indeed. So there we go. That's the podcast. We will be back tomorrow night. I'll be live on Twitch watching tomorrow night's episode. The penultimate Reindeer Games episode. Quite the 1-2-3 punch here. We've got the penultimate Reindeer Games episode. Then we have the Survivor finale on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the Reindeer Games finale, which will just completely overshadow Survivor. So sorry, Survivor. Nobody's going to care after Reindeer Games. Make sure you stay tuned for all of that. And find me on Twitch to watch along with me as it airs. Chappelle, what do you got going on?
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed watching this episode and talking to you all about it. Last week, I got to talk about the last episode with Brian Scalley and Matt LaGuardia over on the Free Agents podcast. So that was a great time with them. They're so funny, as y'all know. And so go check that out if you want to hear me rant about Danielle Reyes, because it was at least 45 minutes of uninterrupting just shouting from me after that episode. I guarantee you, turn it down. Just turn your volume down a little bit.
No, also turn it here, up.
turn it away up. But yeah, also here on Rob Has a Podcast, Sasha and I are still covering Below Deck Down Under, Below Deck Med. And so this week we did a double episode to make up for our week of missing Below Deck coverage because we were in New Orleans. And now we have one more episode before there is a brief Below Deck break. We go live on YouTube on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern and talk to all the Below Deck fans. And you can find that on the Bravo Wrap-Ups feed or, you know, on our YouTube page as well. Also on Rob Has a Podcast, Rob and I are doing the Nothing But Netflix podcast every week. We did a basically episodic Squid Game, the challenge coverage, and we did an exit interview with Trey and Leanne from the Squid Game. And that was funny as well. Like, it was a great time. So check that out. And then check out this week's Nothing But Netflix. We had a special guest to talk about Family Switch. We had Dominic Cesternino come on. And that was a great time seeing Rob and Rob Jr. Just, you know, podcasting together. It was fun to watch. So check that out. And then over on Post Show Recaps, Rob and I are still talking about Suits every day. Suitspodcast.com is where you find our daily Suits rewatch podcast from Suits on Netflix. We're up to season 8. We have about 15 episodes left, and then we are done with our daily Suits coverage. So jump in wherever you want. Start at the beginning, jump in at the end, but go to suitspodcast.com and to subscribe to that. Also on Post Show Recaps, Mari and I are talking about Rap Shit. The finale of Rap Shit is this week, and from the creator Issa Rae over on HBO Max. And so Mari and I have been covering every episode, and we just released one of the episodes the other day. We have already recorded the finale episode. So join us on YouTube on Post Show Recaps to join that conversation. And also, you know, of course, subscribe to The Connect wherever you get your podcasts. And I think that's it. You know, just check out my Twitter at Chappelle's_show to keep up with all the stuff I have going on and more.
Damn, Chappelle's plugs longer than reindeer games.
Yeah, and stay tuned because soon a GIF of Taylor Hale will be playing behind him at all times.
I want to get it on a shirt. But you remember those old days where we had the shirt that was like the digital shirt? That you like, yeah, yeah. Like it's just Taylor doing this over and over again.
Could you do like a zoom, like a Zoom background of a GIF of Taylor's, ooh, Taylor's GIF?
Maybe. Oh, yeah, you can. Chappelle, I want you to get, did you see the Brittany Haynes embroidered shirt debacle this weekend?
No, I didn't. No.
So she tried to get an embroidery done of her like cringe face that she uses as her display picture of everything. And it turned out horrendous. I would like if you tried something like that with the Taylor Hale slip. I think it could be really funny.
I wonder if it would also be horrendous, probably. But you know, like I got to put a lot of effort into this one because it means so much to me. I almost got that Dave Vaughn GIF tattooed on me, so you know, ooh, this is going to be a big step.
Listen, in Brittany's own words, it's better that it's bad.
All right, Mary, what do you got going on?
I have nothing going on in terms of podcasts. I am chilling. It is the winter. I'm reading a lot of books, watching a lot of movies. Saw The Boy and the Heron yesterday, you know, having fun. I am, though, here's what I will plug. Follow me over on TikTok at Frail Mary and at Trail Mary. I'm posting Trail some Mary. Running content.
That's
your
there. Trail runs.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at my trail running content that I'm doing over there. But if you need podcast recommendations, I recommend Mess Magnets by Kirsten McInnes. I've been listening to a lot of that.
Interesting. So Kirsten, what do you happen to be up to?
And could you recommend House of Villains? Because I definitely forgot to plug it.
Yeah, I personally recommend listening to the House of Villains recaps with Jenny Onum and Chappelle. I can't believe you would forget Jenny. Rude. They just released a double episode today.
Nobody would have listened to them if you hadn't plugged them. So I'm glad you got it in.
Well, it had to get plugged. And obviously, as Mary just said, Mess Magnets with myself and Sasha Joseph every week talking pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics. It's super fun. And then this past weekend, myself and Jenny Onum finished covering F-Boy Island season 3 over on the Hot Dummies on Islands feed. It was a pretty fun season, not as good as 1 and 2, but really good on the podcast. And of course, follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. Thank you all so much for joining us, and we will see all of you next time.
Just because, like, women. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?